And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Red Sox leading 8-6 here in the ninth. And a high chop. Devers has it. That should do it. And the Red Sox make it 5 in a row. They are hot at a great time. And they sweep Baltimore in this 3-game series. 8-6 the final.
I'll have you know that I predicted this, Jamari. You too, Jimmy Stewart. I predicted this. I said they're about to get hot. In fact, I told Felger this off the air at the end of last week. I think I said it on the air, too, but Mike will vouch for me tomorrow, like he always does.
You did say it on the air, Tony.
You said it on the air.
I said they're about to get hot. Some of it is the schedule. Some of it is they started to play better at the end of that trip. And so some of it is being back home that the Red Sox are about to get hot. They've won 5 in a row. And this is where we're going to begin tonight on the Baseball Hour.
Peak too soon.
617-779-0985 is your number. I will politely ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, to open up the phone lines right away. Again, 617-779-0985. It's a Patriots-heavy time of year, so if you want to talk baseball, now's your chance to do it. And over the weekend, starting on Friday night, the Red Sox sweep the Orioles 3 games in a row, and they are now in command, dare I say, of the American League wildcard race. And when I say in command, they are still tied with the Toronto Blue Jays in the loss column, but the Red Sox hold the tiebreaker over Toronto, which is to say that if the two teams finish 1-2 in a tie, the game will be played here in Boston on Tuesday. I believe that's October 5th. So 617-779-0985. Here's my question. Do you believe that the Red Sox have turned a corner? Do you believe that they're starting to play well again? Or do you believe they just happen to play the Baltimore Orioles, who absolutely positively suck, and they took advantage of a really bad team? It's nothing more than that. They're still the same Red Sox. That's where I want to begin. Murray, I would love your thoughts.
Column B.
Okay, Jimmy Stewart, I would also love yours. Go.
Peak too soon. They're porked.
Okay, column B. Both you say column B. That has got more to do with the Orioles than the Red Sox.
Absolutely. Talk to me this week when you play real teams in the Mets and the Yankees.
So this is a big week for the Red Sox coming up. I don't dispute that. You have a couple of games with the Mets here starting tomorrow night. Red Sox are off tonight. They're also off on Thursday. They have 2 with the Mets and 3 with the Yankees. And then we'll get to next week later on, but there is something about next week's schedule that does give me some cause for concern. But in terms of how they played over the weekend, I only half agree with you two guys. I only half agree with it. The Orioles are obviously part of the equation. Baltimore was in 2 of those games. They were in the game on Saturday. They were in the game on Sunday. In fact, Sunday, they were really in a position to win the game after the Red Sox blew a lead and suffered an injury, by the way, to Garrett Whitlock. But the Orioles, being the Orioles, they don't have the horses to pull it out. The Red Sox immediately reclaim the lead, end up winning the game 8-6. So I would tell you, though, that at the same time, boy, there were some good signs for the Red Sox over the weekend. Most notably, do you know Jim Murray? Do you know Jimmy Stewart? They didn't make an error in the whole series.
Ooh, against the Orioles.
Not one.
Ooh.
Okay, but again, Murray, independent of who it is, like, when you're in the field, you got to make plays. It's not like the Orioles don't put balls in play.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so they didn't make an error.
Not going to play tight against a crap team, though.
And so I wonder about this, too. I'm glad you brought that up. That is it because they know they can beat Baltimore and they're confident, and so they're nice and loose? Like, I don't know how many people saw the game on Friday night. Friday night in the 4th and 5th innings, Rafael Devers at third base and Xander Bogaerts at shortstop, in consecutive innings, made what I would call stellar defensive plays. And again, not like all-timers that you've never seen before, but in the case of Devers, it was a dribbler up the third baseline. Devers came charging in, grabbed it, barehanded it, in one motion threw an absolute bullet to first base. But the fact that Rafael Devers came in, barehanded a ball, completed the throw all in one motion and did it cleanly, to me was surprising enough.
Yeah, because he's typically a butcher over there.
Absolutely. Absolutely, he's a butcher. So I was surprised. I was surprised by the play. I went, well, that's play, you know, that's a nice turn of events given the way the Red Sox have been playing defense of late. The very next inning, the leadoff hitter hit a soft bouncer up the middle. Bogarts came in, barehanded it, tried to do the same thing and didn't make as good a throw and bounced it. And Bobby Dalbec picked it out of the dirt, clean as a whistle, two barehanded plays, two outs. Another game, maybe in Seattle, Kyle Schwarber doesn't handle that ball down the line. The Red Sox open the gate, they lose the game. Over the weekend, at least on Friday night, they made that sort of play. So again, my question to listeners would be, are you buying in? Do you believe it? They've won five in a row. Does that change how you feel about them? Because I suspect it doesn't. And I would like to know why. Because I'll be honest with you, I think they're playing better. I sort of felt like it was coming. And if they are at Fenway Park, if they can set up their pitching, they can absolutely win the play-in game and put a scare in whoever they face in the division round, which again will be Tampa. But I don't think this season is over by any stretch of the imagination. And to me, that is one of the significant takeaways of the weekend. Just to fill you in on where they are in the standings at the moment, the Red Sox are one up on the Blue Jays. They are 1.5 up on the Yankees, but in the case of New York, Boston is 2 up in the loss column. Oakland is also 2 back in the loss column, 2 games overall. So really now, Seattle has faded here a little bit. They're now 4 back in the race with 2 weeks to go. So again, the Red Sox are up 1 on Toronto, 1.5 on the Yankees, 2 on the Oakland A's with 2 weeks to play. Boston has 11 games left. They have 86 wins. Jimmy Stewart, what was the win total you predicted at the beginning of the season? How many wins did you say they would get?
93.
So if the Red Sox go 7-4 over the rest of the way, you'd be dead on with your win prediction. Correct?
That is correct. I don't feel good about it, though.
Murray, did you have a win total for the Red Sox at the beginning of the year? Did you have any sort of prediction as to what they would be?
No. I figured they'd probably be in like third place in the division, frankly. I never put a win total on it, though.
Okay, I thought they'd be pretty much right where they are now. I thought I had them at something like an 84 to 87, 88 win team. I thought they were in somewhere in that area. They're at 86 right now. It's certainly possible that they only win 2 games down the stretch. But I also think that they're going to win more than that. I mean, I think this week against the two New York teams, that 3 wins is an absolute minimum. You got to win 3 games this week. And then next week, you go to Baltimore and then the Washington Nationals on the final weekend of the series, a season rather. So I'll mention this now about the Washington series. It does concern me a little bit that on the final weekend of the season, the Red Sox are playing in a National League ballpark. This is a roster now that requires a lot of, management as far as Alex Cora is concerned, but a lot of mixing and matching, a lot of moving pieces. Alex Cora is constantly going to have to tinker with this lineup in order to get the bats in there and pick the right matchups. So at a minimum, on any night, Dahlbeck's going to be out of the lineup, or Schwarber's going to be out of the lineup, or J.D. Martinez is out of the lineup. And that is true in an American League ballpark, or for that matter, I should say Alex Verdugo. Generally speaking, any one of those 4 guys is going to be out of the lineup on a nightly basis because you have too many starting players for those spots. When you go to the National League, you are going to lose 2 of those guys. And I know the Nationals suck, but I also know that the Red Sox have limitations defensively. And when they go to those games to Washington, I cannot help but wonder if someone is going to be in the wrong place defensively and it's going to end up biting them in the ass in the last 3 games of the year. So that is something that does concern me. As for the other teams in the wild card race, Toronto is playing tonight. They're at Tampa. The Yankees are playing tonight. They are at home against the Texas Rangers, and the Oakland A's also play tonight. The A's are at home against the Mariners in what is really every game now, I would say, is a must-win for Seattle.
Yankees look good over the weekend, huh?
So, look, again, all these teams are flawed, Murray. I mean, outside of the division winners in the American League, they're all flawed.
Yeah, but getting your ass blown out a couple of games by Cleveland, like, eek.
But ugly. ugly, ugly, ugly. They got annihilated in those games.
Right.
It's not like they got blown open late like some of the games the Red Sox had out in Seattle. They got utterly, completely annihilated in those games. So that's where we begin. The Red Sox 5-game winning streak. The play over the weekend. Did you like those unis, by the way? Did you guys see those unis?
I don't like them. I don't. And if you're going to use them, have it only for the Patriots Day game, the marathon game, because it's associated with the marathon and the Boston Strong thing and all of that. Like, I looked up Friday night. I was out at the 99 with my wife. I'm like, what the hell are they wearing these for on like a gloomy Friday night?
Jimmy Stewart?
Made no sense to me.
Do you like him?
I agree with Murray.
I'll tell you what, I like them. I do. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I kind of like them. When they showed them early in the year, I thought, you know, they're different. My initial reaction was what you guys said, and then I looked at them a little bit, and at the time when we first saw them, Murray, if you remember, that we didn't understand the whole marathon connection. And then, you know, when someone put it into context and I saw the story that, you know, the whole idea was to mimic the Boston Marathon because we just saw the colors initially, I thought, oh, well, okay, so I sort of get that. And now, after seeing them go 3-0 in those things over the weekend, once they won Friday night and I saw them play the defense they played, I tweeted this, and you can check it. Just so you know, I'm not blowing smoke up your backside. Keep the unis. Keep them. As long as you're winning, keep wearing the effing unis.
And this is kind of a dark thought, but this is how I felt in seeing them. It just felt like that it was part of the cash grab weekend, too. Like, okay, you know, they were begging people to come to the park, especially in this series against a low team in the Baltimore Orioles. So they're going to have a little bit of trouble filling the place, unlike maybe later in the week with the Yankees. Oh, by the way, don't forget we sell these uniforms, too, if you want to wear one. It just felt kind of cheesy to me.
Well, Murray, I'm glad you brought up the attendance. We'll get to that, and we'll get to, again, the most startling development of the weekend at Fenway Park. We'll do that when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls. The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Same old Mass.
I know that's a big word the Red Sox like to use.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Weak ground ball. Devers, bare hands and throws. That is a bullet. He's got some kind of arm over there. Two down.
That's a do or die play right there. He's got one shot, and the only shot is to bare hand it. Outstanding job.
It's another roller. Bogart's bare hands, and Dalbec picks it. Very nicely done on both ends of that.
It's a great team effort right there. Again, more weak contact. Outstanding job by Bogey going to get that ball, getting rid of it quick. And on the other end, Bobby D picking it.
It's to the point with Dalbec over at first. You feel like he is going to pick every single ball that comes at him. It's felt that way over the last few weeks.
I don't know if I go that far. I'm not entirely confident that Bobby Dalbec has all of a sudden turned into a Gold Glover over there. Let's not go that far that he's going to pick everything. Just because what? Because he's had a few good weeks? Now, that said, he's playing great. He's playing his best baseball of the year. But let's not be stupid about it. It is, Dalbec still has a little bit of a way to go here. So, you know, I'm not ready to all of a sudden start thinking that the Red Sox have fixed their problems at first base. And by the way, while we're at it, do you know how many people have come up to me recently or sent me emails saying, well, how do you feel about Bobby Dalbec now? Don't you feel stupid? See, you said early in the year he sucked. Murray, did you think Bobby Dalbec sucked early in the year?
Yeah.
Okay, Jimmy Stewart?
He was horrendous.
He was horrible early in the year. Absolutely, positively horrible. And so, if we're being honest, see, the thing is, I can now say, well, he's playing great now. But that doesn't mean I was wrong to say that he sucked earlier in the year, because he did. Here's the other thing. You know who else thought he sucked? the Red Sox, which is why they went out and got Kyle Schwarber and then said he was going to play first base. And then, as if that weren't enough, they went out and got Travis Shaw because their defense was so bad at first base.
And by the way, Tony, they were trying to get Anthony Rizzo so much that Buster Olney on a Sunday Night Baseball game said he expects the Red Sox to get Anthony Rizzo.
So again, Jimmy, they were absolutely, positively 100% in the market for first base help. And they didn't get Rizzo, which, again, we crucified them for. And I'm still not sure was the right move that he ended up in New York. You know, this idea that somehow, well, what would have Rizzo done here? Maybe he'd have given them a jolt back then that they'd be making a run at the division right now. Who the hell knows? I will say there are any one of a number of factors that could have altered their course there at the middle of the season, right at the trading deadline. And more importantly, the Red Sox clearly didn't believe in Bobby Dalbec's defense either, because they went out and got help at the deadline. And then after, they got Schwarber with the idea of playing first base, as foolhardy as it was. And they also went out and got Travis Shaw when they realized Schwarber was going to be out for a little while and that he might not be able to play first base after all. So let's not go suggesting that somehow this was all part of the Red Sox master plan at first base, because it wasn't. Now, that said, Dalbec is playing his ass off. He's playing his ass off. And in that second play where Bogarts came in and barehanded the ball, Dalbec made a nice pick on it. Wasn't a difficult play at first base. So the pick was an easy pick because the ball was relatively close to him. But early in the year, that's 50-50 at best. And, you know, the crowd was better over the weekend, which is another thing. Did the Red Sox efforts to get people to the ballpark, did they work? We'll tell you what those numbers were when we get back here in just a minute. We'll get back to that in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. Nate is in a car. Nate, what do you got?
Yeah, Tony, I feel like this team is getting hot now, and I don't know if it's because of the superstition with those uniforms. You know, back in 2013, they had emotional ties to it. I feel like they're reconnecting that magic at a different level. I think with Iglesias, it's a good addition, and also with Schwarber. But, yeah, I definitely feel like they're heating up at the right time.
So, Nate, look, I mean, I joke about the uniforms and the superstition and everything else. I didn't make the connection to the marathon that you did, but I do think there's some truth to what you said about Jose Iglesias. You know, Travis Shaw, Kyle Schwarber. I mean, those are three guys that are big league players at a minimum. You know, Shaw might be borderline, but Iglesias is a legitimate elite big league defender. Schwarber is a good big league hitter. And I would say Travis Shaw is probably third on the list, but nonetheless has been in the big leagues for a while. It beats the crap out of some of the other guys that you put on the field the last couple of years. And it gives you some options and some versatility. So you put Shaw in there, he gets a right-handed pitcher with the bases loaded, he hits you a grand slam. Iglesias maybe starts a slick double play that gets you out of an inning in Seattle that you otherwise wouldn't have gotten out of. And Schwarber, I mean, we've seen him over and over in the batter's box to know he's a tough out there in a big spot. So the roster has gotten better. Their pitching staff has gotten healthier. And right now, they're up. And by the way, when I said the Red Sox were 1.5 up on the Yankees, I get an email about this. It's actually 2.5. 2.5. So there, it is in their hands. It's in their hands. They have 11 games left. They are leading the wild card race. They are at home, and they have 3 days off in the last 2 weeks to line up their pitching and do everything else. There is no excuse now for them to miss these playoffs, even if it is just for the one game. At a minimum, you've got to get in the play-in game. If you don't, your last 2 weeks have been a disaster. Our pal Tom's in Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Excuse me. Hey, yeah, Tony, I think one of the biggest things about this, recent turnaround anyway, has been, they got two of the biggest turnarounds in Major League Baseball over the second half with Dalbec and Richards. And like you and like the majority of the people that follow the Sox, unlike, you know, the only difference with us is that we're willing to admit that I thought they sucked. I thought they were awful. And you know why I thought they were awful? Because they were friggin' awful. Okay? So the fact of the matter is, if, you know, they take away Richard's role, they put him in the bullpen. He's flourished lately, right? Dalbec gets his job threatened. He's flourished since. Huh. Wonder where we've seen that before, right?
So the fact of the matter is, when you have a guy like Richards now that's kind of adapted that role and is pitching well, the playoff hopes and their playoff lives could rest on the relief. And that means Garrett Richards is going to be heavily dependent on and very important, which never in my life did I think that I would ever say that. So let's go after it, lock up the wild card, and move on. I don't want to hear the Dahlback this. Dahlback sucked for 4 months. If he didn't suck for 4 months, they wouldn't have made a trade, and then you wouldn't have any of this conversation.
Hey,
he
stepped
it up in a major way.
Tom, before I let you go, let me just ask you, because Richards has been a lot better out of the bullpen. I mean, we all know that, and, you know, again, now he's closing out games, albeit against bad competition or what have you. But I, for one, did not see this coming. I don't think a lot of people saw it coming. But let me ask you, do you trust him in a big spot?
Not necessarily, and that's the issue. That's the problem, Tony, is that now he's being put into kind of higher pressure situations, and so far he's pitched pretty well doing it. But my fear now is with Whitlock going out with that whatever the hell strain yesterday, it's like he's going to be leaned on even more. They need all the wins they can possibly get in the next 11 games. So he's going to be relied upon, and I hope that he cashes in on it, because if he fails, you know what happens around here. Oh, he might not recover from that.
Yeah, so again, I'm less worried about him recovering. I'm less worried about him recovering and more worried about him being able to get key outs for them right now in key spots, because I still don't trust Garrett Richards. And again, since he's gone to the bullpen, the numbers have been out of this world good. I mean, there's no way anyone could have seen this coming. So just to give you some of the contrasts, his ERA as a starter was 5.22 out of the bullpen, 0.87. for Garrett Richards. The strikeout to walk ratio as a starter, 1.8. It was under 2. Ideally, you want to be 2 strikeouts to walks. Out of the bullpen, 3.13. Every time he walks a guy, he strikes out 3. The whip, much lower out of the bullpen, 1.2 versus 1.7 when he was a starter. For those of you that are stat geeks, I'm trying to give all the nerds out there all the ammunition and data they need. He's 1-0. He's got 3 saves. 0.87 ERA. They're batting .208 against him. The OPS is .542. He has not given up a home run out of the bullpen. He has 25 strikeouts in 20 innings. The guy looks like a different pitcher. Over the weekend on Friday, I thought the Red Sox looked like a different team with the way they played defense, not the yellow uniforms. Like a different team with the way they were throwing the glove around. And, you know, I just wonder, can they do it against good competition? When there's pressure in the game and the opponent is pressing on them. And, you know, and Murray made this point earlier. Great, they played clean defense against Baltimore. I just wonder, when everything's on the line, can they do it in a big spot? Because I'm not sure they can. When they play at their best, I don't know that they're a threat to win a World Series. I'm not going to blow that kind of sunshine up your ass. But I will tell you that I think they're pretty good. And they could put a scare in a team, and if another team doesn't play well, then maybe they can win a series. That's what it is to me right now. But I am also worried about the Whitlock injury. The good news, or the flip side of that, concerns one of their position players who's now playing the best baseball that he has played in months. We'll tell you who that is after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Talking baseball with Tony Mass.
This is the Red Sox we're talking about.
It's the Baseball Hour on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There you go. Bogaerts destroys this one. There's the knockout blow.
Knocked me out. I told you. You knew it was coming. You just knew it was coming. There it is. What a day by Bogey.
He is just so graceful.
He's back. He's back.
All That was from Saturday's game. Red Sox end up winning that one 9-3. It was tight for a while. Orioles got two in the first. Red Sox got three in the bottom half of the first. Then they give up a run in the second. Now it's a 3-3 game into the middle innings. Red Sox go ahead 4-3. They blow it open in the sixth, and Xander Bogaerts with a titanic home run, absolute smash, that blew the inning open. The Red Sox go on to win it 9-3 was your final score. And the return of Bogaerts, I don't think coincidentally, has sort of coincided with the return of the Red Sox. And if you are looking for a silver lining from Bogaerts missing time to COVID, it's that he was able to rest, particularly that wrist problem that he started having when the team was in New York. I'll give you some numbers on Bogaerts here momentarily of what he was hitting up until the last week over a long period of time that was not good. And I think maybe his butt with COVID straightened him out a little bit and got him healthier, at least physically, in terms of, you know, what's the word of the, you know, the baseball playing body. I'm not talking about COVID body. And it certainly appears to have helped his hands. I also want to get back to COVID too, because Chris Sale admitted over the weekend that he was unvaccinated. Let's go to John in Hampton. John, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Matt? Hold on.
Okay.
Well, John, sorry, sir, because right, I was waiting, so I just grabbed it. So, well, here's the thing I was thinking is that I have to go back to my thought process here. So that when I talked to the gentleman when I called in, so through everything that we've gone through with the Red Sox, because this has been a great year for me listening to him, okay? It's been fabulous. So we're at this point. So I've asked you and Jimmy, I think two or three times this year, are you in, are you out? So the thing is let me just say this. So
John, get to the point, please. What is your ultimate point?
The Red Sox are right now leading. I mean, they're the first wild card.
Correct.
Right now, right?
Yes, it's in their control. That's right.
Right. So they got to play the Mets two games in a row, which is really great. The next couple of days against the Mets, it almost is like, I hope they wear the yellow uniforms again. So the thing is, I'm asking you, Maz, because I love you and I love Jimmy. So are you guys in or out for this Red Sox team this year from right now into the playoffs? Are they going to make the playoffs?
Okay, so that's John's question. Jimmy, you going to answer that question?
Yeah, they'll be in the playoffs. They'll be in the wild card game.
Okay, that's Murray shaking his
good about it.
That's Murray shaking his box of nails over there. I know his answer. He had him buried a long time ago.
Yep, the man stays in.
In his defense, I bought in. I bought in with Murray a couple of weeks back. I said that I think they're toast. And I'll be honest, they were playing poorly, and it was in the middle of the COVID thing, and I thought they're done. They're not going to get out of this. They're not going to recover from it.
Tony, you don't have to back down. We had a talk show to do that day. That was our opinion on that day.
I'm not backing down. I'm just telling people what I said. I'm not going to lie. I mean, that's all. I just want to make everyone aware of the fact or make it clear that I thought that they were cooked at that particular point in time.
They were.
Back in June or July, Jimmy, I said I can't see them I can't see them blowing this thing now. They've played too well. They're in too good a position. I don't think they're going to fall apart. And then they fell apart. So I would tell you that everything that has happened with this team this year really has been unpredictable. They played well in the early part of the year, save for the 0-3 with Baltimore to start the season. Then they won 9 in a row. They got hot. They put themselves in a good position. They played good competitive baseball for a long period of time to the point where I thought, okay, surprise, surprise, here we go. Then I thought there's no way they'll fall apart. They're too good. They've proven that. They fell apart. They played bad defense. They didn't do anything at the deadline. They got hit by COVID, and they almost completely disintegrated to the point where I thought that they were cooked. Now they've put it back together again. So does that mean they're in? Instinctively, I want to say yes. Do I believe that they'll make the playoffs? At the moment, yes. But with this team, it has literally gone day to day, week to week, all year long. So what, we're supposed to sit here now and say we'd be shocked if they completely fell apart down the stretch? It's not like it's anything we haven't seen before. They were a disaster there for about a month and a half. And you know what Xander Bogaerts batted during that month and a half? 245, I think it was. 245 with an OPS in the low 700s. Your franchise player, one of the best players in the game in theory. 245 with a 710 OPS over the quarter of the season. Xander Bogaerts hit 5 home runs and had 19 RBI over 40 games. Not good enough. Nowhere near good enough. Now, was there a physical problem? Maybe, probably. But do you know now? Bobby Dalbec is 23-76. Xander Bogaerts is 22-75. Bobby Dalbec's OPS for the season, 804. Xander Bogaerts' OPS is 878. They're not that far apart. I love Bogaerts as a player, always have. But he had sucked for a while. He had really sucked for a while. And again, I'm sure it was related to a physical thing because we know he's a better player than that. But I got to come back to that rule. If you're on the field, you're expected to perform. Mike's in Providence. Mike, go.
Ooh, Tony, I have a pipe dream. Just hear me out.
Just be fast.
What is the deal with Baez? What's the deal with Rizzo? Can we get our second baseman, our first baseman? Did you see the fight with Machado and Tatis? Is there any way we can get one of those guys?
Okay, on the last question, the answer is no. And could you get Rizzo or could you get Baez? Sure. Yes, you're the Red Sox. You have money to spend, assuming they want to spend it. But honestly, I'm not even thinking that far ahead. This right here, this is a good week. This is a good week. Five games, so you're not getting walloped every night with 4 hours. You get an off night tonight, an off night on Thursday. You get the Mets in here for two, and I know the Mets are under 500, but it is a big league club. You're not talking about the Orioles. You're talking about a team that's right around 500. It's a decent opponent. And then the Yankees over the weekend, whom you're fighting for a playoff spot. Tonight you get to scoreboard watch. But your team's in it. You have five more home games this week, six on the road next week. You're up in the wild card race. You have tiebreakers over both Toronto and New York. The game on October 5th should be here. It should be here. That game should not be played anywhere else. And in this ballpark, you should like this team's chances because they've been good at home this year. And the other clubs may have to fight and use their pitching and burn their pitching to get in as well. So all things being equal in your ballpark, you should like your chances. The division series, we'll see. John's in a car. John, go.
Tony, I'm going to be real quick because I don't want to stress you out if I'm long-winded. So real fast, I'm very bought into the team this year. We didn't expect any of this. We expected maybe 70 wins. This is all bonus baseball. So for anybody complaining or saying anything bad, they shouldn't. We're very lucky to even want to watch the games and listen each night. So that's the first thing. Jay Stu, you were right, 93 wins. I mean, I don't know how you got that right, but very good. And Murray, you're a curmudgeon, but you're my favorite curmudgeon. I love listening to you. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks.
Okay, John, appreciate the call. So, look, again, I don't know if I completely buy the theory of, you know, they were supposed to win 70 games. I didn't feel that way at the beginning of the year. I thought the number should be a little bit higher. I thought they were going to be reasonably competitive. Now, again, I didn't expect the extremes that we got during the course of the year. I didn't expect the highs of the first half along with the lows of the second half. I thought that they were going to have some difficulty pitching. I thought there was a chance their pitching might break down late in the year, which I think to a degree has happened. I certainly did not expect a COVID epidemic in the clubhouse. But I also didn't expect a 102-win pace in the early part of the year and for them to be in a position where they could really add at the deadline and maybe make a deep run in the playoffs. So, to me, they were about an 85-win team, give or take. I thought that that's what they were. I think I said 84 to 86, you know, something like that to give you a little window. But at the end of the day, I thought they were an 85-win team. On the high side, I thought 87, 88. On the low side, I thought 82. Something in that area. Now, all of a sudden, here they are at 86. They lead the wild card race. They lead the wild card race. And they're at home for the next five games. They're in a good spot. Bogaerts appears to be healthy again. It looks like they're swinging the bats a little bit. But we all know what the flaws are in this team. Their inability to put the ball in play sometimes. Maybe the bullpen, although they are healthier now than they've been in a while. Despite the loss of Garrett Whitlock over the weekend, which, by the way, should scare the hell out of you. Although I will say that as much as I'm worried about Whitlock, and he grabbed his pectoral area, yesterday, the Red Sox called it a pectoral strain. They would get a better assessment of it here as the week goes along. I'm not shocked. They've been pitching him more lately. They've been leaning on him a little bit more lately, pitching more frequently. He hasn't been quite as effective lately either. So I'm not stunned that Garrett Whitlock, if he is broken down, however minor or major it might be, I'm not surprised that this happened at this stage of year.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.